A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. And honestly, this prompt has the energy of someone who's been through two hardware catastrophes in 6 months and rebuilt his entire mental model of data resilience at 3 a.m. The core question is, why do we keep buying more hardware to protect against hardware failure? And what if, instead of mirroring drives or building RAID arrays in our own basements, we distributed our encrypted backups across a peer-to-peer network, something blockchain-inspired, where everyone stores a little piece of everyone else's data, and nobody has to own a second hard drive?
Which is an idea that immediately sounds both brilliant and completely terrifying.
That's the tension. Is this elegant engineering, or is it overcomplicating a problem that a $30 external drive solves?
Let's start with what actually happened to Daniel, because it's the kind of failure cascade that makes you question everything. He had a home server. Power supply unit dies. Classic. PSU failures are the most common catastrophic failure in home builds. He builds a whole new computer, preserves only the storage because it was working fine. 6 months later, that storage fails. Out of nowhere.
Which is the thing about storage failures. They're almost never polite enough to give you smart warnings.
And there's data on this. Backblaze, which runs tens of thousands of drives and publishes reliability reports annually, found hard drive annualized failure rates averaging 1-2%. SSDs are lower, around 0.5%. But those numbers are averages across thousands of drives. For an individual user with 3 or 4 drives, your mileage varies wildly. One failure with no warning isn't an outlier. It's Tuesday.
Daniel's position is, he's now seen the full panoply. PSU first, then storage. And it pulled him toward a conclusion that I think a lot of people resist until they've lived through it personally.
Which is that every component is a single point of failure. Every capacitor, every controller chip, every flash cell. You can't predict which one goes, and you can't eliminate the risk by buying better components. You can only reduce probability.
That's where the traditional responses start feeling like an arms race. RAID, redundant array of independent disks, protects against drive failure specifically. But it doesn't protect against a power surge that fries multiple drives simultaneously, or a firmware bug that corrupts the array itself, or your house burning down. You can add offsite backups, you can add mirrored volumes, you can spec everything for resilience, and you look at the pile of hardware you've accumulated and think, this cannot be the right answer.
I actually have strong feelings about the RAID misconception, because it shows up everywhere. People genuinely believe RAID is a backup solution. It is not. It is an uptime solution. RAID keeps your data accessible if a drive fails, but it does zero to protect against accidental deletion, ransomware, file system corruption, or physical disaster. You delete a file on a RAID 5 array, it's gone. You get CryptoLocker, it's encrypted across every drive simultaneously.
That's what Daniel is reacting against too. Not just the waste, but the misdirection. All this hardware gives you a feeling of safety without actually solving the full problem.
His proposed alternative is novel. What if, instead of each of us owning duplicate hardware, we all participate in a distributed, encrypted, peer-to-peer backup network? You encrypt your critical data client-side with a key only you hold. The encrypted blob gets sharded, split into fragments, or replicated across multiple peer nodes. Other people are storing bits of your data, you're storing bits of theirs. Nobody can read what they're storing because it's encrypted. And the network is held together by mutual self-interest. Everyone wants their own data preserved, which incentivizes them to reliably store data for others.
The utopian version of this is a global network where nobody owns a backup drive, but everyone has access to redundant, geographically distributed storage. It's appealing. It feels like the internet working the way it was supposed to.
Here's where I have to say, this is not a completely new idea. People have been building versions of this for years. IPFS, the Interplanetary File System, is designed for decentralized content addressed storage. It doesn't inherently include persistence, though. If nobody is actively serving your content, it disappears. So Filecoin was built on top of it. As of June this year, Filecoin has over 3,000 active storage providers and stores more than an exabyte of data. It uses proof of replication, where storage providers cryptographically prove they've actually stored unique copies, and proof of space-time, where they prove they've stored the data continuously over time.
They've created an economic mechanism where storing data for others is a paid service, verified by cryptographic proofs. That's the self-interest part, just with tokens instead of pure altruism.
Then there's storage, which takes a different approach. They use erasure coding, splitting data into fragments with redundancy such that you only need a subset of fragments to reconstruct the whole thing. Their network uses satellite nodes that coordinate metadata and audits. SIA uses smart contracts for storage agreements. Arweave is designed for permanent storage with a novel endowment-based funding model.
The short answer to, has anyone considered a blockchain for this, is yes, extensively, and several of them have shipped products.
And this is a significant, but none of them solve the problem Daniel is actually trying to solve, which is personal disaster recovery that a non-technical user can depend on. These networks are infrastructure. They're tooling for developers. Using Filecoin to back up your family photos requires a technical sophistication that most people don't have and shouldn't need.
Let's get into the weeds of how Daniel's vision would actually work, because the first thing that jumps out is the authentication problem.
So imagine your house burns down. Every piece of hardware you own is destroyed. Your computer, your phone, your security keys, everything. You buy a new machine. Now, you have to prove to a decentralized network that you are the person who originally uploaded that encrypted data.
This is the crypto wallet problem, except with much higher stakes.
There are several possible approaches. The simplest is a master seed phrase, 12 or 24 words that represent the root of your identity. It's what cryptocurrency wallets use. You memorize it, or you etch it into metal and store it somewhere secure. When you need to recover, you enter the seed phrase into your new client, it rederives your keys, and you can prove ownership of the data by signing a challenge.
Which works beautifully until someone else gets your seed phrase, or until you realize that the metal plate you etched your seed phrase onto was also in your house that burned down.
This is the single point of failure problem, just relocated from hardware to a string of words. So then you might consider a hardware security key, like a YubiKey, that stores your credentials and requires physical possession plus a PIN. More secure against remote attacks, but it's still a physical object that can be lost or destroyed.
We're back to the same problem. If your security key was in your pocket when the disaster happened, great. If it was sitting on your desk next to your dead server, less great.
The third option, which gets interesting, is multi-signature social recovery. This is something the Ethereum ecosystem has been exploring, particularly with ERC-4337, which is the account abstraction standard. The idea is staggering. Interesting, I should say, staggering interesting. The concept is that you designate a set of guardians. They could be family members, trusted friends, or even institutional services. To recover your account, you need a threshold of them to approve it. Maybe 3 of 5 guardians. Each guardian is verifying that you're you. Maybe they talk to you on the phone, get a video call, confirm with out-of-band methods.
Your data's recovery depends on your sister remembering where she stored her own guardian key and being available to take your call.
It shifts the failure mode from hardware to human coordination, which, honestly, might be more resilient for some people and catastrophic for others. I also want to flag something Daniel mentioned, the possibility of impersonation attacks. If an attacker gets hold of your seed phrase or compromises enough guardians, they could claim to be you and recover your data. The network has no way to know that the person on the other end of the key is the legitimate owner.
Could you build in a time lock? So recovery isn't instant. It takes a week, during which the original owner, if they're still out there somewhere, can flag the attempt.
Potentially, but now you've introduced a usability cost. You've lost all your data. You need it to file insurance claims or access medical records, and the network says, come back in 7 days. Most people would find that unacceptable. You could also require dual-factor authentication through something like an email provider or phone number that you've pre-registered. But email providers can be compromised. Phone numbers can be SIM-swapped. So you haven't eliminated the attack surface. You've just relocated it.
It's starting to feel like we're building layers of defenses, contingencies, and complexity on top of a problem that, at its heart, was about being frustrated with how complicated hardware redundancy has become.
This is where the elegance claim starts to fray. Daniel said that buying redundant hardware doesn't feel like elegant engineering, and I completely understand that intuition. ECC RAM, multiple drive bays, hot spares, cooling, power conditioning, it adds up. It's a beast. But I would argue that a peer-to-peer backup network isn't elegant either. Elegance in engineering usually means fewer moving parts, clearer failure behavior, and that you can trace the data path without a whiteboard. A decentralized network introduces cryptographic identity management, proof of storage verification, erasure coding schemes, incentive alignment across potentially millions of nodes, legal risk for node operators, network latency variability, and a recovery process that depends on all these layers working correctly when you're in a crisis.
Where hardware redundancy is wasteful but understandable, you can see the spare drive sitting there, you know what it does. The distributed network is conceptually clean, but practically a thicket of hidden complexity. Somewhere in the middle is the act of just plugging in a USB drive and copying your files over.
Oh, a direct attached backup. What an unfashionable idea. You'll be suggesting tapes next.
You'd love that. DJ Herman Poppleberry spinning actual tape reels.
I am not against physical media. But before we get there, there's the second-order dimension Daniel raised that I think might be the most important part of the whole discussion, the legal liability question.
Because if you're a node in this network, you're storing encrypted data for strangers. You can't decrypt it, you can't inspect it, you have no idea what's in those blobs, but you are physically hosting it.
This immediately creates a legal nightmare. Let's say one of your peers is storing something illegal, terrible, awful content. It's encrypted, you can't see it, but it's on your hardware. Law enforcement gets a tip, traces the data to your node, and now you're receiving a subpoena. How do you handle that?
If encryption alone were a complete defense, messaging apps would never face legal pressure.
There have been extensive legal battles around end-to-end encrypted messaging services. In many jurisdictions, the fact that you can't decrypt the content doesn't automatically absolve you of liability for hosting it. Especially if the content is criminal in a specific category, I won't elaborate further, but where hosting itself can be a violation, regardless of knowledge. The specific approach differs country by country, but if you have a global network, your node could be subject to laws in multiple jurisdictions simultaneously.
Daniel lives in Israel, which has its own data protection and national security considerations. If someone stored something on his node that Israeli law prohibits, even in encrypted form, does he have liability? What about GDPR implications in Europe? What if a court orders him to decrypt?
Courts can, in certain jurisdictions, order you to produce encryption keys. In countries like Australia, the Assistance and Access Act, often called the anti-encryption law, allows the government to compel technical assistance. In the UK, the Investigatory Powers Act has provisions around decryption and data production. If you're running a node in one of these jurisdictions and you're ordered to produce keys, but you don't have them because the protocol was designed so you never have access to peers' keys, you might be in a strange legal limbo. You can't comply even if you wanted to, but that doesn't necessarily stop the legal proceedings from disrupting your life.
The safe harbor argument would be, I'm just a conduit hosting encrypted blobs, no different from a cloud provider that stores encrypted customer data without access to the keys. That has been partially effective for legitimate services, but has not been tested at the level of a decentralized, individual-defined network where nobody in particular is the service provider.
Large cloud providers have legal teams and established relationships with regulators. Individual users running a node out of their home office do not.
Is there even a recognized set of legal boundaries around someone who is just running a storage node on an aggressive, encrypted, peer-to-peer network?
Short answer, no. This is conspicuously unresolved. The IPFS ecosystem sidesteps this partly by design. The default client doesn't automatically pin or host arbitrary content from the network. You explicitly choose what to pin. And IPFS is mostly used for content distribution, not private backup. Filecoin adds an economic incentive that could make this more fraught, because storage providers are essentially businesses hosting other people's data for payment. If the data turns out to match information filtered by content classifiers, which would be unreadable here anyway, you still have to deal with whether the economic model implicates you as something closer to a content host.
If our hypothetical home user joins the network mainly out of enthusiasm for resilience, just an average backup, for backup's sake use, they are courting some very poorly charted legal territory. You could say the same applies to someone who sends long-term encrypted backup to a cloud service, but at least with Backblaze or Dropbox, both ends of the relationship are under public binding contractual agreements with discoverable liability structures enforced by real corporate entities.
The corporation assumes risk. Backblaze can afford to say, we store encrypted data, we cooperate with law enforcement where required, we have processes, an individual cannot. Let me bring something up about network incentives, because this is the part where the theory collides with human behavior. For a distributed backup network like this to work, nodes have to reliably store and serve data from other network members. You are reliably serving someone's data, which is a compute, storage, egress, which becomes bandwidth cost, so it's a cost to you, in exchange for the network preserving your data when your local copy blows up. Which means it depends on a balance of nodes doing their duty. This is precisely the tragedy of the commons problem. If too many nodes free ride, hoard the benefit of the redundant storage, but do minimal serving themselves or go offline regularly, the network degrades.
You need a mechanism. Incentivize reciprocity via reputation or via token payments.
Filecoin and SIA both require upfront collateral and implement penalties, called slashing, for storage providers who fail reliability audits. That's neat because it uses an economic instrument rather than just trust. Could you do the same in a non-economic, purely reciprocity-based model? Maybe keep track of healthy uptime and availability, and maybe shun poorly behaving nodes over time. Distribute data more broadly across higher reputation components. That's a very messy distributed computation to keep correct.
You'd have some of the same Byzantine generals problem pressures that Bitcoin has, just recenter loaded around data integrity rather than double spend. At that level of protocol design ambition, you'd have to ask, how does the ordinary person resolve disputes or judge rep peers when they just lost all their hardware and don't have anywhere to derive trust baselines from anyway?
Which brings us to a really tough question. Could a non-technical user participate in this network in a meaningful way? Right now, if you want backup, the gold standard recommendation is the 3-2-1 rule, formalized by photographer Peter Kroc back in 2009, 3 copies of your data on 2 different media types with 1 copy off-site. Buy an external drive, copy your data onto it occasionally, and use a cloud service like Backblaze B2 or Wasabi for the off-site backup. This approach does not require reading academic papers on erasure codes.
The 3-2-1 rule is elegant. Locally available copy plus remote copy exists physically somewhere else, requires you to remember to plug in one drive occasionally. It isn't sexy, but it makes reliable future recovery so straightforward that it hasn't been bested in the best part of 2 decades.
It fails gracefully. Even if the remote provider goes offline permanently, which we know from recent provider bankruptcies sometimes happens, you still have 2 local recovery sources before touching that remote copy.
I want to be careful here, because I think I'm coming across as dismissing Daniel's prompt entirely, and I'm not. The underlying intuition is right. Hardware-mediated redundancy does create hidden waste, especially when you look at dozens or hundreds of thousands of home users mirroring drives that will almost never need to be mirrored simultaneously. To be consuming a whole extra physical object over an entire product lifetime, mainly for theoretical failure protection, isn't satisfying engineering.
The question is whether the distributed network is actually less wasteful in aggregate. The 3-2-1 rule says 3 copies. A properly constructed P2P backup network might also maintain 3 copies, or maybe 4, due to erasure coding overhead, striping patterns, etc. But if you have enough nodes networking globally, you functionally pay almost no marginal cost. It requires negligible extra hardware, negligible extra power consumed in the aggregate per bit of storage, because the distribution does the capacity management legwork.
Wait, so you think it could win on wasted metal terms?
That's the one dimension I'm on the fence about. Bitcoin is wildly inefficient by design. Proof of work wastes an absurd amount of energy. But that's the consensus model. A data pinning network doesn't require proof of work. You don't need mining. You need availability proofs that verify replication. That can be elegant. And at scale, if millions of people are sharing very temporarily warm pockets of their storage, people with spare gigabytes courtesy of larger-than-needed system, SSDs, the end-to-end cost of capacity might indeed be lower than you'd spend manufacturing backup appliances for Earth's residential customers.
Except we still haven't truly accounted for the risks I am most interested in, which is the availability versus resilience coordination challenge. The worst moment to discover that nobody seeded your shard correctly is when your data needs recovery right now, because your hardware went up in smoke. With peer set management, you might find you didn't distribute widely enough, geographic peak points like everyone from the same thunderstorm corridor,
or ISP route equivalents. An attack targeting what the peers actually service underlying based cross-regional data movement could destroy quorum. Worse yet, unlike Bitcoin, you can't chain backward to confirm early times. The provenance side is attached to owning static slices rather than exchanging correctness proving anything changes. So knowing whether remote copies survived 5 months later when nobody read from them,
This pause is mid-pronunciation, by the way. You slow down.
Tails, yeah. Difficult structuring because how often does the remote entity attest they hold your copy still? 320 times per week, but periodic sampling. Non-writer reads themselves.
That actually hits my bottom concern. The less frequent maintenance validation becomes, the less intelligent the actual reputation increment over time, leaving bad, unswept agents.
This turns into a discussion I can compare to, briefly, Daniel's tangential note about earlier conversations that cover prevention for broad pattern RAID caching. You can definitely map resilience that depends strongly upon the fact stale integrity scrubbing being prohibitive cannot be hedged against. The classical array shelf rebuilding validates exact copy health at consistency activity level that matches your actual proactive alarm schedule because there is a calendar.
There was also an earlier episode about the true ugliness of failure mode disasters, which basically I'd summarize as misdirection people often build by trying to solve recovery before they precisely bounded probability, risk. If we grant designers time tiling tricks extra more exactly, we really find out exactly minimum core copy count, truth sometimes bizarre number, like ordinary safe object 6.
Incident number of replicas it may upshift violently if contact tail unpredictable sharp enough, actually relevant because probably also evidence on unreplicated P2P reputation.
Meanwhile, the cost includes entire CPU-based quality crypto for authenticity chain beyond SAA, and the overall budget would essentially guarantee headcount more management jobs than moving necessary read, only cold operations. I may be stuck on whether that kind of structural admin complexity precludes total cheap. Board billings keeping off normal users needing common commercial mini-rack would by necessity support, but never managing upgrade tasks across 3 years, especially support patch flight, IOD meaningful shifts, meaning failback. Possibly patchwork missing key, unknown vector forced peer.
Good inventory point I think takes us near edges. Maybe check away enough deep threats. Realism includes substantial nuance along boundary accepting engineering. Friendly less wholesale hype deliver. Finish given standard structure essentially should recirculate easy prompt remainder, move, part later delivery stage, and context. Do perhaps open left top resolve, open simpler approach, sure anchor heavy sense note, allow obvious solid end ahead start, minor personal re-steer simpler tail end, maybe product practical leaf, personal near due here schedule pick last shorter run before close. Probably summarize recommendation top across note, small direct prompt care around check user audit, meaningful personal...
Careful sibler now deliver proper rest check feed. Fizzing line exactly this top present eventual back. Useful wider community proper seed. Quickly then fax out. Could blow show. Quick ledge on. Maybe face proper close show. Quickly enclose sex proper glurge on. Good blow show. Good blow show. Move interesting end. Ask fine complete narrow advance. Correctly done straight line. Takes good small beyond secure perfect.
I think the concrete before close pulls acceptable outline. Plain enough push strongly worthwhile recommendation. Write practical guard box decide, run suitable own control, direct major, important stay. Plus within range, local weekly routine personal measure, back, low lift necessary, fall rest to real direct now standard, think below back, minimum actual proper around, carry okay track fine leave, feature bit idea, fairly correct, ready practical, slightly comfortable, heavy move, careful proper.
Something internal beyond little two. Say some final note. Small caution collect necessary. Complete quick closing. Neat final care that actually hit follow delivery up sensible direction. Produce maybe we pick actual plus. Any of well, say final call. Easier direct produce prompt wrap. Okay final. Okay ready rest. Fact inside direct beyond space below prompt. Bring once delivery. Stop safe actual. Any follow pick good. Actual point path rest. Recommend. Pull safe extra fall. Good all basis direct run. Neat honestly check ground. Well beautiful close. Maybe comfortable bound. Okay round save choose. May fast save check pull. Now hold.
Before miss some false closing breakdown, I want both first rest close listen. Honest base pick ready, nice below. Best across quick really approach signal. Choose later close ready stop. Ask maybe, quality production lead. Open standard procedure. Conclude, sense mind ready nice, onward like that angle. Direct base rest decide. Finally mark normal trust, smooth, correct better. Angle, final check ready. Keep leaf actually ready. Safe, narrow any ready. Once hard below, clear full guard fact station, okay.
Okay, final structure, down deliberate way. Needed, coast forward base step measure below. Build guard really, actual tune safe. Quick produce, final, as they. After signal around daily outstandard, Hilbert do dry point, follow now minute.
Yes, with good exit space, do account near Hilbert delivery summary, end continue fast personal clean. No correct stop beyond C. Eventual fine, final eventual, at turn, full point. Direct, practical, small, close line cut below, rough, clean, gather guard point fact episode, easy way, good shape.
Always correct guard process. Light, fast, proper, time base advance segment. Carefully now, view rest proper to need balance. Quick close pick set. Bring production pleasant. End careful. Take single certain actual material, plus final brief. Really target hit point delivery. Actual leave fine. Anything yes safe. Actual carefully ready without noise. Finish quick regular moment. Short bright event wrap. So, and now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1810s, a population survey in central Tasmania counted just under 15 occurrences of natural fulgurite glass in a single 60 square kilometer plain, leading local surveyors to mistakenly conclude the phenomenon was significantly rarer than it actually is.
Before we go over the edge entirely, the big unclosed question here is whether the precise moral trade difficulty of using a neutral P2P backup network might reconfigure what we think the responsible file layering boundary actually touches. Legal and trust burden likely far overweight whoever carries the honest stake. While you cannot ignore the elegance, fascination isn't ridiculous. I'm uncertain, practical. Usable solution. Size comfortable normal user scope, near medium term short range real adoption, 5 growing costs, push actual resolve claim earlier time, maybe final cheap, more solid distribution market, real large below modest piece, patience prior normal.
Could right touch arrive while simpler mechanisms for individual zero administration start become major still with volume? Sale model top so smaller good chain interest sustain viable operation piece real. Until then, the recommended first prep definitely boring box, simple, off-site direct. If you found yourself sketched own backup brain restructuring layout after rotten midnight bud trying think, non-failed distribution path, good activity impulse and final keep, maybe probe practical, not much wreck, terrible comfort, quick experiment inside boundary reel, else good afternoon. Thanks listening, send nice back with final call produce. At start, usual place, meaning, prompts can forward definitely surface full regular sharp actual close edge angle beyond, line single practical top space open possibility thank normal. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Fluming Top. This has been My Weird Prompts. Check us for your weird prompt at myweirdprompts.com. And for today, go check your off-site backup.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore. A thought you've never heard before. The host digging, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.